Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read verse 27 and 28. We'll pray and then get into the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. Let's read these verses together. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 through 28. All together, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and turn unto them that look for him that shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It'd be nice if I could read. All right, well, let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Your Lord, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, Father, for these verses here out of the book of Hebrews. They're just jam-packed full of truth. I pray, Father, we'd have ears to hear. Help us, dear God, motivate us. Help us to do our best in light of these verses. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in these two verses, we read of three major events that are yet to come upon all those who are alive today. They speak of death, judgment, and the second coming of Jesus. The Bible speaks so clearly about each of these events that all of us will partake in unless Jesus comes for his own in our lifetime. Let's read these verses once again. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now these verses ought to be a warning to sinners, but also a wake-up call to the saints. Notice these verses mention death. Mentions death. The Word of God declares it is appointed unto men once to die. But I want you to notice, it doesn't say it is appointed unto men, or appointed unto men all to die, does it? Because not everybody's going to go to meet Jesus through the door of death. Now, this is a truth that most of us easily recognize as these bodies of ours will one day cease to function. Through physical death, it's going to come to us all, and then our souls will live on forever, even in a place called heaven or a place called hell. Now, the only exception to this is those who believe in Christ if they are alive at what we would call the rapture. It is then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57 will be fulfilled. And there we find this written. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning die physically, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, barring that one exception, it is appointed unto men once to die. Now, death is a sober, solemn, certain fact we must all face. This is an appointment you will keep. An appointment you can't cancel, nor one that you will be late for. Not one of us knows what a day will bring forth. And no one has the assurance that they'll be alive tomorrow. It may come by the body simply given out as one dies of old age. Maybe it's an act of violence. Somebody could get murdered. Or maybe it's just an unfortunate accident. But death does come to us all. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Now the Bible is true. Its words will last forever. It has never misled, never misinformed, or misrepresented anything it speaks of. And not one word has ever failed that came from it. The story is told of a preacher of the gospel who one day was speaking to an ungodly crowd about heaven. Afterward, a scoffer exclaimed, "I don't believe a word that you said. You see, when we die like a dog, and that's the end of us." The preacher said, "Is that what your mama believed?" "No," replied the man. "My mom loved her Bible. She loved the Savior. And she cried herself to sleep many a night because I would have nothing to do with either one of them." The preacher asked, "Is your mother still alive?" "No," said the man. "She's been dead for quite some time." "Oh," the preacher replied, "so she died like an old dog, and that was the end of her." The man got quite a bit angry and said, "You say my mom died like an old dog?" "No," answered the preacher, "you did. I believe she died like a saint, and I believe she's in the Father's house with the rest of the saints." Folks, death does not end all. It simply is the soul leaving the body and going to either a place of rest or a place of torment. I recently attended my father's funeral, and while there, I was sad because I'm going to miss him. He's the last of that generation in our family. But because he was a believer, I knew he was alive. And I knew he was happier than he has ever been. He's in the presence of his Lord and Savior. He's with my mom, his beloved wife. He's rubbing shoulders with the saints who have gone on before him. He's now cancer-free. No more trials. No more cares or sin for him to deal with. As I contemplate my own departure, whether Jesus comes for me or go to be with him through the door of death, this much I know, and that is I have a whole lot to look forward to. If either of my parents were unbelievers and found themselves in the place prepared for the devil and his angels, the sorrows I would have would be too much to bear. And my only relief would come when God would wipe away all my tears from my eyes. I'm so glad my testimony impacted my parents. I'm so glad I told them of Jesus. I'm so glad I was there when they put their faith in Christ, that I seized that opportunity and did not put it off for a more convenient season. For no one is guaranteed tomorrow. Death is a warning to the lost not to leave this world without Jesus. But it should also serve as a warning to the saved to wake up and reach your loved ones before it's too late. You see, death ushers one into eternity. It's not the end of anyone. And yes, like death, there is also coming a time of judgment. There will be a different judgment for believers than for unbelievers. Those judgments will be at different times and affect people in two ways, depending on whether they received Christ as Savior or they rejected him. There is a judgment for a believer. It takes place as what is known in the Bible as the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is only for those who place their faith in Christ and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection alone to save them. Oh, they have eternal life now. And this is as close to hell as they will ever come. Yet this coming judgment for believers will not be for the purpose of whether or not they are worthy of heaven, for that is a certainty as believers are saved from the wrath of God to come because they have had their sins washed white in the blood of the Lamb, never to be held against them anymore. This judgment for the believer, however, is to determine the amount of rewards they will receive in that coming day. We believers, each and every one of us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20 or 5:10, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, when I stand before Jesus at that judgment seat, Connie's not going to be there. She will be there on her own, but I will give an account for my life. She's not going to be able to point to me and say, well, you know what, I can't help, my husband was a doofus. He didn't lead me the way he should have. He wasn't a godly example. She can't do that. She's going to have to give an account of herself, whether her husband was the husband he should have been or not. It doesn't matter. She will have to give account of herself. I will not have to give an account of her. I can't blame her for how I lived or how I served the Lord. That's on me. You know, there is such a thing as personal accountability in the Bible. You know, we can't push that off on somebody else. You know, Adam and Eve tried that right from the beginning. Oh, Lord, you know what? Eve, the woman you made me, if she wasn't around, I wouldn't have done this. You say, that's not what it says. It's all in the Hebrew. Look it up. And then what did she do? Well, you know what? The devil made me do it. She pulled the Flip Wilson on him. Did God have any of it? None whatsoever. You will not be finger pointing at another. You won't be able to say, well, you know what? The preacher ain't going to work. You're going to be held accountable. You yourself will stand before Jesus, and you will get rewarded, or you'll go away with nothing and like it. Now, the believer who is a true disciple of Christ, who has lived for the Lord and not themselves, who laid their all on the altar of sacrifice, who was faithful in the study of his word, being a doer of it, who was a person of prayer, who spoke off with the Lord, one who was a fisher of men, one who was separated unto God and separated from the world, will receive in that coming day of judgment many rewards. The crowning one being Jesus saying to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. On the other hand, the believer who has been lukewarm for the Savior, indifferent and neglectful of living the Christian life, will suffer loss, but they themselves will be saved, yet so as by fire. The truth concerning the believer's judgment is brought out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. And there we read this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The coming judgment for the believer will determine the rewards a believer will or will not receive. But I want it clearly understood. The believer that is saved, they are saved now and they are saved as they ever will be. And because they're saved by grace through faith in Christ, their names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. And they are destined for glory. But how would you like to stand before the one who died for you, who paid your sin debt in full, and have nothing but a wasted life? According to John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son, what? Hath everlasting life. You know what the word hath means? It means you got it. Amen. This means it's a present possession. Believers, you need to wake up. For at your judgment, you'll either regret how you live for Jesus now, or you'll be pleased because you'll be rewarded because you lived by faith. Then there's a judgment for the lost. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, but what? After this, the judgment. There's a judgment for believers and a judgment for unbelievers. A terrible judgment awaits a person who dies without Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9 speaks of the coming time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and says that such shall be punished with everlasting destruction. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are further taught, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The final judgment of the lost is spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, where John the Apostle writes these words given to him by the Spirit of God. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now who is that one sitting on that throne? It's none other than Jesus in all his glory and all his holiness. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The unbeliever will face hell immediately after death. And hell will be a place of torment, flames, gnashing of teeth, insatiable thirst, a haunting memory. It'll be a place where they cry out for mercy and receive none. A place where they pray that someone would go to their loved ones and seek to reach them for Jesus. Yet a far worse judgment is yet to come, as the lost, every one of them, from the first one that ever went to hell to the last one, will appear before the great white throne. This judgment is not a trial. Those who are judged are not asked questions. They are simply judged from the things written in the books, and they are accorded their punishment in the lake of fire. Now, it's a great white throne, for all the lost will stand before Judge Jesus. It is a white throne, for it reveals the holiness and the purity of God our Savior, the one who is willing to save all men. He now judges those who fail to come to him for a free, full, finished salvation. It could have been theirs, but they never accepted it. Now as they stand before him, condemned, they will hear the awful words from the Lord Jesus himself. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is like a jail, where the lost await their sentence to the lake of fire. That's a penitentiary, for which there is no escape, no parole, no rest, no love, no light, only the screams of the damned who are fallen in unimaginable agony, and do so as the ages roll on. Those who occupy such a place of dreaded damnation are described in Revelation 21:8 as the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers. And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let all the lost heed the warning to flee the wrath of God to come and find eternal refuge in Jesus Christ. I know there are those who scoff at the idea of eternal torment and say they don't believe such a place exists. Well, let me say this. Such a person is a fool who thinks just because they don't believe in hell or the lake of fire that his useless opinion shuts the door to the fiery pit and puts its flames out. Disbelieving God's word by anyone does not affect the truth that it contains. Some religions will tell you God loves people so much that he wouldn't send anyone to hell. To that, I would agree. they send themselves there. For they rejected the love of God that God showed them when he sent his son to the cross to bear the sins of the entire world and pay for them. If there is no such judgment, then the Savior died in vain. The Bible's not true. The church's mission to preach the gospel to every creature is rendered void. Soul winning is a waste of time. And I, as a pastor, need to resign and get an honest job. But it is true, because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And then the third future event that is certain to take place is the second coming of Christ. Verse 28 of our text tells us, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of what? Many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now he came the first time to deal with man's sin. He'll come the second time to complete our redemption, our salvation, by giving us a glorified body, one like unto his resurrected body, one that'll never perish, one that will not know sin. One day the heavens will be parted asunder. And this same Jesus who went up into heaven following his resurrection shall so come in like manner as he went into heaven. Many times the Word of God speaks of this great fact. It is described in two different phases. First, Jesus comes in the air for his saints at the rapture, and then 7 years later to the earth with his saints, where he is revealed. The first stage of his return will be imminent. It can happen at any time. And the second stage, every eye will see him as he comes in power and might, taking vengeance on a Christ-rejecting world. How clearly he spoke of his second coming. He said in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 gives us what's going to happen at the rapture. It tells us, but I would not have you to be ignorant. There's a comma there. Thank God for that comma. Brethren, there's another comma. So whatever Paul's about to write to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's wanting us to know, correct? Don't want to be us ignorant of this fact. Concerning them who are asleep. Those who are what? Saints who have died in the Lord. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This means the departed saints who are now in the Father's house are coming back what? With him. Isn't that what it says? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I'm glad Paul just didn't give us an opinion. Give us what he thought. He's saying this by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, well, I'm glad he's coming. I don't want to hear from Gabriel. I want to hear from Michael. I want to hear from the Lord. Amen. I meant not that those other ones aren't good angels, but give me Jesus anytime. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? With a shout. With a shout! With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Now those are what? The ones that come back with Jesus, right? And their bodies rise first, correct? All right. You say, why is that? I don't know. But they got 6 feet further to go than we do. But they're going to rise what? First. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So while they're going up, we get changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We get our glorified body. The day of our salvation will be complete. And we meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we have one grand reunion there. That's something to get excited about. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, those words have comforted me greatly over the departure of friends and loved ones. In light of being caught up to be with our Lord at any moment, we as believers are to do three things. First, we are to watch, for the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Secondly, we are to work. We are to live for Christ, and we are to occupy or be about the Master's business until He does come. And then number three, we are to wake up as we are exhorted in Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. Notice what it says in these verses. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What's that talking about? Getting that glorified body, the time of Christ's return. It's nearer than it's ever been. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of what? Darkness. You see that? That means immorality. That means sin. That means evil. That means wickedness. Goes on to say, and let us put on the what? Armor of light. Let us walk what? Honestly. Not hypocritically. Let's not live a lie. Honesty is not the best policy for a Christian. It is its only policy. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, that means immorality, immoral sex, and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. But put ye on, what? The Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Sounds to me like, we're to crucify the flesh. We are to abstain from satisfying the flesh. The fact that Jesus is coming in the air to receive us believers in the air unto himself should stir us up to be at our best and do our best for him. While believers look forward to our Lord's second coming, and what a day that'll be, and we are even praying, even so come Lord Jesus, this glad day for the saints will be one sad day for the sinner. For the unbeliever, it will be a time of fear, a time of terror. For there will be 7 years of tribulation will come upon this Christ-rejecting world. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel. It is the tribulation time. That's where God's judgment will rain down upon them. They will face the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments. And those who make it to the end of those 7 years, and by the way, you'll see one quarter of the world's population dying, another third. It just keeps going. And if you're going to be around during that time, at least be a mortician and profit from it. Because you'll have plenty of business. But it'll all be over at 7 years. But they'll be terrified. Those sinners will know fear as they have never known before as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, returns in all His glory and removes them and all things that offend Him from this world and then sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years where He will rule and reign in righteousness. You know, oftentimes I drive down the city streets and I look and I'm thinking, that liquor store ain't going to be here no more. You know, those pot shops, they'll all show down. And you know that those pervy places where guys get their, you know, thrills watching things they shouldn't be looking at, they'll all be removed. I can't wait for that day to happen. I can't wait for there to be safety on our streets. You won't have to worry about anybody mugging you or molesting you or shooting you. All that's going to be over because Jesus is going to rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 glorious devil-free years. Surely King Jesus, who spoke all the creation into being, is more than capable of keeping His promise to return. The lost, to the lost, it is a clear warning. that this judgment could happen at any moment. So come to Jesus. You better do so quickly. Don't put off your decision for Christ for some other time, because you never know when death may tap you on your shoulder. It could happen this very day. Or Christ could come at any time. And you don't want to face the judgment of God for ignoring the salvation of your soul. Christian, wake up. Do what you can for Christ while you can. Live as if you expect Him to come at any moment, at any day. For you won't want to be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, we have a blessed hope. That blessed hope ought to be a purifying effect upon us. We ought to live in a manner where we will be accepted of Him and not ashamed for how we lived. You know, there are three things that are about to take place. Death, judgment, and the Lord's second coming. Ask yourself, are you prepared? Or are you found wanting? Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.